1 Corinthians 15, if you'll find your place there. And we'll read these verses in just a moment, the first 10 verses. If you don't have an outline and you need one, raise your hand and they'll get one to you. Right up this way, Brother John, up front. Just keep your hand up, if you will, so they can see you and get one of those for you. You can keep these and file them. Restudy them sometimes. It'll be a blessing to you as you do that. The lesson title today is Good News, and the gospel is good news, isn't it? It's good news. And so we're in the third lesson in this series that emphasizes witnessing, soul winning, giving out the gospel. As we look, as you find your place, I think everybody's got one of the outlines now. Let me begin reading with verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And let's read these verses, and then we'll come back and comment on some of those and then some others along the way. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. He's talking about the gospel. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and at last of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. There are four gospel records that we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four records, but there's only one gospel. Only one true gospel. Galatians 1:8 says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Let him be accursed. And so he says, there's one gospel, don't preach any other gospel. This is the only gospel, and that is very clear here. And the word gospel literally means good news. It's the Greek word euangelizo, and it sounds like our word evangelism or evangelist, and that's really what it is. It's to evangelize, the good news, the evangelism. And so we have three things we want to really touch on today and remind ourselves of. One of those, and you'll see it in your outline there, is to acquaint people with the simplicity and power of the gospel. To acquaint people with the simplicity and power of the gospel. Secondly, to equip believers with the understanding of how to present the gospel to others. How do we present this gospel to others? And then thirdly, to enlist individuals to give out the gospel, to give the gospel to someone right away or immediately, to put it into action, to give out the gospel. So three things we hope to accomplish in lesson number three. Every generation needs to hear the gospel, right? Jesus said that in Matthew 4:23. He went about the synagogue teaching and preaching the gospel. That's what the Lord did in his ministry. He went about, go into those synagogues, and what would he do? He would preach the gospel. The early church, what were they doing? They were preaching the gospel. That was their main responsibility. And you can see that in Acts 8:25 and Acts 14, 7 throughout the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, as he talks about his job, his work, his responsibility, he said in Romans 1:1 that God had separated him or called him out unto the gospel of Jesus. Paul said that was my main job, was to get the gospel out there. Now, we need to be reminded sometimes that's our main job, to reach our generation. Who's going to reach this generation if it isn't the present generation of Christians? And we need to reach our generation. It is our work. And so we need to know the truth and share the truth. Dr. Lee Robinson, who pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church and at one time was the president of the Tennessee Temple, but he made this statement on one occasion. He observed that if people are not being saved, one of two things is wrong. Either the gospel, number one, has lost its power, or believers are not giving it out. Now, we know that the message of Christ has certainly not lost its power, so it must be the other problem. People are not giving out the gospel like we should if people aren't being regularly saved because of our own testimony and our own lives. Here it is. We know the truth, don't we? We know the truth. And so we need to make known the truth. It's not enough just to know it. We have experienced it, but we need to make known the truth to other people. And God teaches us that that's exactly what He wants us to do. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, back in those two verses, He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, when we look at this, the context of 1 Corinthians, we understand that it was written by Paul to correct some of the problems that the church of Corinth was having, some of the abuses and disorders in that local church. And so, when you go back to chapter 14, the verse just before chapter 15 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And what he was saying was, we need to get back on track. We need to really not get detoured or distracted from the main thing. And so many times in our churches, if we're not careful, we can get distracted from the main thing. And the main thing is getting the gospel to people so that they will be saved, and that is our primary work. Individually, it's your work. Collectively, as a church, it is our work. In the body of Christ, it is our work to get the gospel out to other people. And so Paul is emphasizing that. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, usually we refer to it as the great resurrection chapter. And that is true. It is a great resurrection chapter. And it talks about the power of a living Savior, a resurrected Savior. And then Paul begins to talk about it as he opens it up in verses 3 and 4 in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. And these verses repeat this phrase, "according to the Scriptures." And so what he's saying, this is good news, not just from me, but from God. God gave the Scriptures. It's according to the Scriptures. The good news has come to us from God, and it is not the good news just from man. So we believe, Paul believed it, and we believe that God has revealed the gospel to us, and it is the Word of God. God has given it to us. And so he says in verse 58 of this chapter, in chapter 15, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." In the work of the Lord. Well, what is the work of the Lord? Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, it's multifaceted, but the main work of the Lord is giving out the gospel. And we cannot claim that verse unless we are doing what God tells us to do in His work involved in getting the gospel out. So, we have a world today, I think we'd all agree, There's a lot of bad news out there, and all we are hearing mostly is bad news, but the world needs good news, don't they? They need some good news, and that good news is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in your outline number one, under these three things we'll try to cover very quickly, one of them is we need to get acquainted with the good news. Get acquainted with the good news. You see, you can't share what you don't possess. Now, probably everybody in this class, being the senior class for the most part, has experienced the good news and you know that you are saved. And Paul said in verse 3 of chapter 15, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." In other words, he got saved, he received the good news, and he says, "I'm delivering." We have received the good news if you are saved. And that good news is something we should be giving out. And I guess it'd be good to ask, do you know the gospel? Have you experienced the gospel? Have you truly experienced the good news? In a little outline, you may want to put this in your notes there. A, under that, it's not on your notes, but you may want to add it. We need to know the elements of the gospel. What makes up the gospel? What is the gospel? What are the elements of the gospel? Well, three things, really. Number one, the death of Christ. And that's what these verses talk about, the death of Christ. Secondly, the burial of Christ, where he carried our sins away. He died for our sins. He carried our sins away. And praise God, the resurrection of Christ. Thank God he arose. He rose from the dead, and he's given us eternal life and right now abundant life. So three things, three elements, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So know the elements of the gospel. Then be under that, if you're outlining it, know that you have had your own very own experience, which we've touched on, with the gospel. Paul's experience, he said, my experience was firsthand. Look back at verses 8 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, "Last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And so Paul is saying, this was my experience. I had a firsthand faith. I experienced it myself. Now, we can believe it, by the way, intellectually and not get it here. There are a lot of people who believe the facts about it. They just hadn't applied or appropriated the facts. It has to get from the brain to the heart. It has to be the heart where you depend on the Lord in a personal experience, and that's what Paul had. He believed. And we have to ask the question, have my sins been forgiven, or do we really believe that God is God the Father? And then we look at the life of Christ, and we see the first message that Jesus gave was a message about the gospel. And it's in Mark 1:14. You don't need to turn there because we're going to move pretty fast. But it says in Mark 1:14 and 15, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee doing what? Preaching the gospel." Preaching the gospel. That was the main thing he was doing. The gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So that was the first thing Jesus was preaching. And so John marks that for us and lets us know it. Second thing in your outline number two, give the good news. Experience it and then give it. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Going back to the fact that Paul received it, but what did he do with it? He not only received it, but he relayed it. He got it, and then he relayed it to other people. He declared it to other people. And don't you think that was natural in the spiritual realm for him to do that? I mean, if you are saved, isn't it natural? It should be a natural thing that we want to give out the gospel because we are saved, we're born again, we have experienced the gospel. And that's what Paul did, and that's what he said when he was writing to the church at Rome in Romans 1, 14 through 16. You may want to turn there very quickly. But look at what Paul said as he talked about the gospel, and he was sharing his heart. He was saying, I've been saved by grace. I've experienced this, and I want to give it to other people. And all of us, I might say, probably could improve in this matter. No doubt. I know I can, and I would imagine all of us could. But in Romans 1:14, Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile or to the Greek. Now, what was Paul saying here? Three times he used these words, I am. And the first time, you see it in the first part of verse 14, he said, I am debtor. Romans 1:14, I am debtor. And he is saying that I am debtor to the Greeks, barbarians, to everybody. I am debtor to all kinds of people. You know, God has not made the gospel just for one ethnic group. It's for all ethnicities, all people on the face of the earth. Paul said, I'm a debtor to all people. And I'm a debtor to those who are educated, to those who are not educated. I'm debtor to everyone. So what he's saying is God is not prejudiced. The gospel ought to be given to all people, all races, all people. And to have the gospel is to owe the gospel. To have it is to owe it, to give it out. We have it, we ought to give it out. You remember the story of the four lepers that went out? They went out of the camp and they said, well, we might as well go to the Syrians. We're going to die anyway, and let's just see how they'll treat us. If we go back inside the wall, we'll starve to death like the rest of them. They went out, and God had worked a miracle, and the Syrians had fled. And they found wealth and silver and food and all of those kinds. They went from tent to tent to tent. And then they finally concluded, you know, we do not well. We have all of this, but we need to go back and share it with those inside the wall. And that's a very good illustration of what we need to do. And we need to get the gospel out. So Paul said, I am ready. I am ready. And that was the next thing that he brought out. Let me mention what Oswald Smith said. He said, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has not heard it once. We are debtors. We are. And then Paul said, I am ready. And here's where the problem comes. Most of us perhaps don't feel ready to give the gospel. We feel inadequate. Some perhaps do not, but some do. And that's what limits a lot of people. Where do you start? Where do I start if I'm talking to somebody about the Lord? What if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? They probably will at some point. Here's what Paul said. Remember what he said? As much as in me is. So as much as in me is. What's in you? What did you experience? You have the Lord. If you're saved, Christ is in you. In the person of the Holy Spirit. So, if you're saved, there are two things that really make you ready to witness. One of those things is your testimony. And you might use something as simple as John 3:16. Probably most everybody in here knows that. If you don't, write it in front of your Bible in the fly leaf there and then turn to it and just read it to somebody, John 3:16, and give your testimony. You have that, don't you? As much as in me is, Paul said. That's my testimony. That's what Christ did for me. Secondly, not only do you have that, but you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Don't forget, when you go talk about Jesus to other people, you're never alone. Always you have the Holy Spirit who is in you, who is with you, who is there to help you, who is for you. And he gives, if we depend on him, he gives wisdom. He gives us the courage that we need, the boldness to be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. I still witness to people, but I still need the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to tell somebody about Christ. And he does, and I know he's there, and that's why I'm able to go ahead and do it. And that's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. I labored more abundantly than they all. But then notice what he said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, and the same grace of God he had, you have in you if you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit to go with you, to help you, so don't be afraid and don't be a coward. And then he said, don't be ashamed. I am not ashamed. Verse 16 in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Number one, everybody needs the gospel. And secondly, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is powerful. It is powerful. It's dynamite. And so let it loose. Tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are his witnesses, and we need to, by faith, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I might mention, you can't really witness to the wrong person. You can't witness to the wrong person. So wherever it is, whatever it is, you can go ahead and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as is written, the just shall live by faith." So what he's saying is, you have your faith, share that faith. The just shall live by faith. We're justified by faith. We pass it on, and others get saved. We are witnesses, Luke 24:28. Ye are my witnesses. You're my witnesses. And that tells us what we're supposed to do. Number three, go with the good news. In your outline, number three, go with the good news. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." What did he mean, I labored more abundantly? What were you doing, Paul? I was giving out the gospel. I labored more abundantly. Now, the gospel has two great things for us. Number one, it gives us wonderful rest. And thank God we have peace of God, the peace with God, and we get rest. But also, the gospel implies that there is labor involved with it. And that's what Paul's talking about. I have peace with God, I'm saved, but I labor. I've labored more abundantly with the help of God in me. And that's what we should do. Give it out. Labor means get the gospel to other people. God never intended for the gospel to be stationary. He never intended for it to be stationary. When it started out, an angel proclaimed the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And then the shepherds said, they declared what they had seen and heard, and now it's my turn and your turn to do the very same thing. What we've experienced, what we've seen, and what we've heard. The psalmist said in Psalm 126:5-6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." It's going to happen. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." In other words, take the gospel and go and give it. You got to go to do it. And so that's part of the Great Commission to us. And of course, the first two letters of the gospel are the letters G-O. That ought to remind us that that's part of it. Hudson Taylor, who is a founder of the China Inland Mission, said this, "God is always advancing. God is always advancing. And so we ought to advance with him." Christ commands us to go with the gospel, and we usually call that the Great Commission. And we had a great emphasis on that in Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." All of that. That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given in Mark 16:15. And that is that we go to every creature. Luke 24:45-48. We go as personal witnesses of God. John 20:21. We go with divine authority. Read those verses. Acts 1:8, we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:18 through 20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24:45, 48, John 20:21, and Acts 1:8. So, back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15, we have in verse 34 these words where he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. And this is the tragic verse in the whole chapter. Verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. And here it is, for some have not the knowledge of God. And he said to them, I speak this to your shame. I wonder if Paul might say that to this class today. I speak this to their shame. So what he is saying is awake to righteousness. Some don't have the knowledge of God. So we need to be wide awake to some things. Number one, to eternity, which is real. Two destinations, heaven or hell. No in between, that's it. Either people die and go to hell forever and ever, or they die and go to heaven. And then we look around, there are souls all around. Everywhere we go, there are souls all around us. I witnessed to a guy in the restaurant, back to my eating habits the other day, and I talked to him, and I found out his name was Jonah, and we had a good conversation, and he's engaged to be married and all of that, but I witnessed to him and shared the gospel with him, and I enjoyed having that opportunity. So they're all around you. Everywhere you go, they're there. And then remember that it's the heart of God. It is the heart of God to witness. It's the heart of God. So we need to be awakened to eternity, to all of those that are always around us. God, you're not where you are, and you don't go where you go and live the life you live by accident. God has a plan for you, and in that plan is to be a witness for God, and he wants us to give out the gospel. And God's command, by the way, is not optional. It is a divine imperative. It is God telling us what we ought to do. It is really mandatory. We can see all of that, and you'll think about it, object lessons in the two ordinances that God left us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, as that speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the challenge, and we're finished. In your next step, at the end of your lesson application, memorize those three parts of the gospel that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Just remember those three things. And then, secondly, ask the Holy Spirit to give you some divine appointments. One of the things I pray every morning is, God, put somebody in my life. Let me meet somebody today, talk to somebody today, have an experience with somebody today so I can tell them about Jesus Christ, an appointment. But ask, be more specific. Ask them to give you that appointment this week with someone who needs Christ. Can you take that challenge and just go home and pray and say, Dear Lord, lead me to make an appointment with somebody this week. Put an appointment in my life. Bring somebody into my life who needs Christ. And then thirdly, just share the gospel with at least one person this week. Make it a point to pray about it. And this week, you, not just your husband, not just your wife, but you share the gospel with at least one person this week. Pray about it and ask God to show you, and he'll do it. Father, help us to be good, faithful witnesses. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.